I don't know about you, but some of you just want to go and like do something to those two guys. As I was showing Amy this video the very first time, she thought, the girls are going to take the boy some lemonade. And I just kind of laughed because I'm like, no, the boy's going to call some bad guys on the girls. And so it's very easy to tell what we're for. You can go to somebody's Facebook page, and it's not hard to tell what people are for and what people are against. And so I want to do something that we did last week again. I'm going to put a couple things on the screen. And when you put on the screen, you got to choose one or the other, and you got to raise your hand and actually admit which one it is. And it's okay, like I said last week, to punch your neighbor during this one, because I want you to make sure that you're being honest. And I made these a little bit more difficult. Some of you just moved over from your neighbor. I want to make these a little bit more difficult. Like, this first one is a big, big deal in your household, so you're going to have to admit which one you are for. And so we'll check this out here. How many are you for over, or are you for under when it comes to toilet paper? Over. It looks like it's a pretty unanimous. Anybody under in here? So there's a couple of you. There's a few of you that you definitely have marriage problems, because this definitely causes marriage problems right here. We were on vacation, and we were headed to our condo, and my wife comes out, and she said, okay, I just want to know one thing. And me and the boys are like, I don't know what's going on. She goes, which one of you turned the toilet paper around? And I said, that was me. And she said, oh, I'm so glad. And I said, that's why we have good marriage compatibility. And so the next one is simply this. Clean shaven or beards? How many of you are for beards? A lot of people in here. Anybody for just clean shaven? Several of us in here. Some of you are like, I don't care. Just it doesn't really matter to me. The next one is this. Sweet tea or unsweet tea? How many of you for sweet tea right here? Just tea. Give it to us. How many for unsweet tea? Those people right there, the people are going to heaven. I just want you to know, the unsweet tea people. And so the next one is this. How many for dogs? How many for those demonized other creatures that like to slap each other called a cat? How many for a dog in here? How many for cats? I see some of you, like, you raise your hand on both, and some of you, I'm not sure you raised your hand at all, so you just must not like animals at all. I'm not sure. And I believe there is one more here. Can I play Christmas music now? It's Christmas time. False. It's November. And here's the reason this is like, you're like, it's not, it's way ahead of Christmas time. Have you been in Hobby Lobby or Walmart? It's not way before Christmas time. So I just go ahead and throw that out. I'm not too confused. How many of you are like, you can play Christmas music starting right now? Those are the people you do not want to ride in the car with right now, I'm just going to say. How many are Christmas music false? You got to wait till November. Pretty split group in here. One day is enough for some of us. So you can tell really quick a lot of things that we are for and what we're against. This one right here, for instance, it will bring out a lot of different stern ideas. And people are definitely for one way or the other. I'm not sure there are very, very many people that are in the middle when it comes to Christmas music, at least Christmas music early or not. And so I want us to think about today exactly what we are for. And you've heard me say before, our mission here at the Bridge Church is to lead people from where they are to where God wants them to be. And we believe this because we want to see lives changed. And we believe this because God has changed lives for us. And so when we think about our mission here, when we look at this particular mission, to lead people from where they are to where God wants them to be, it really shows what we are really for. And so I wanted to talk about this one word this morning, because this one word that we put up on the screen here in a second will cause a lot of different reactions. And it causes a lot of different things. And that one word is a word that you heard many, many different times, and it is simply neighbor. And see, you have some different reactions depending on who your neighbor actually is, or which neighbor that you're talking about from the past. Because everybody that you have a neighbor, you have a certain reputation in the neighborhood. And so some people that you have lived by have the yippy dog reputation, and every time you walk outside, there's this dog, it's just barking at you, and it just will not stop. And for some of you, it's the nosy neighbor. It's the person who just knows everything that's going on in the neighborhood. And if you want to know something, you just walk over there and knock on their door, and they'll be glad to tell you, and they'll definitely let you know of those different things. And then maybe there's even the dandelion guy, you know, the neighbor who just doesn't take care of his dandelions, so the dandelions make it over their way to your yard, and so you have that particular neighbor. Or maybe it's the cat lady that has all the cats in the neighborhood, and you just know which house that particular house is. Maybe it's a loud music guy, and it's the person who just, every time you go outside, and you're just hoping to get some peace and quiet, and there's just this loud, blaring music, and it's never the music that you would actually want to listen to. It's definitely something different than that. Or maybe it's the HOA neighbor guy that likes to go around and report everybody for the things that they do wrong. So you have all these different neighbors and all these different things that you have a reputation for. And the problem is this. If you look through that list and you can't think of anybody on some of those, maybe it's you. Because really, we think about all the neighbors who have a reputation, we also have a reputation ourselves. And so when we think about our reputation, I want us to begin to think about this idea that if we're a follower of Jesus, you probably already know what Jesus has to say about our lives and what Jesus wants us to do. And many people, though, in the world have this question, then who is my neighbor? Is it the person who actually lives next door to me? Is it the person who I actually work with? Is it the person that I commute with? Who exactly is my neighbor? Because if I actually have to love that person, then I prefer my circle to be a little bit smaller. Because if my neighbor's a little bit bigger circle, that means there's just a few more people that I have to love. And guess what? Some people are just not that easy to love. And you've lived next to some of those. You work with some of those. And we understand that. So when we ask this question, you see this question, who is my neighbor? Let me tell you who my neighbor is. My family, or at least part of my family. It's a few select friends and maybe a few coworkers, because that's the people that I want to love. And so when it says in the scripture that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, then that's pretty easy, because I can shrink my circle down and define exactly who my neighbor is. But what he's really asking in the scripture is, who around me do I need to care for? When I go through my life, who around me do I need to really care for? And today, Jesus was asked this question in Luke chapter 10. And I want us to look at this particular scripture. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says this: one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" And so this religious person, religious law, he steps up and he has just one very simple question. What do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus just kind of answered that question with a question. He says, what does the law of Moses say? Basically, what does the first five books in the Bible say that Moses wrote? How would you say that that is? And so he just turns that around on him. And it says this: the man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. And I think the guy is like, yes, I got the question right. He says, and then Jesus says, "Do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And so when I read that scripture, the guy like gave the textbook answer and he knew the right answer. And as soon as he gave the answer, Jesus says, "You're right." He goes, it's like he said, "But who exactly is my neighbor?" Because I know that's what it says, and so I want to do that. And so what it was is, there's people that he wanted to justify that was his neighbor, and there were people that he wanted to justify that was not his neighbor. And so the common debate that they had at the time was, is it just my friends? Is it just my family? Is this just the person that lives beside me? And they had all these different questions, and so it says that Jesus replied with a story. In the verse 30, it goes on to say this: Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of clothes and beat him and left him half dead beside the road. And so we have this man, this Jewish man, he's traveling. And I love this part because it says like he was attacked by bandits. It makes me think back like to Western times or something, because this is not something that we really think about or see about very much today, or use the word bandits very often. And then it goes on to say this: by chance, a priest came along. And I think as he's sharing this story, everybody's like, perfect, the end. We all know what we expect this guy to do. We all know that we expect this guy to stop. He's the priest. Of course he's going to care for this guy. It's just, he's a leader. He's a godly person. We know he's going to do something. But the scripture is going to say this. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. So the person that everybody thought would stop, of course it was the priest, the leader, of course it was going to be him. It says that he just kind of stopped and he kind of passed by on the other side of the road. He just kind of looked from the distance and he kept on going. And basically this is what I believe he could have been thinking. See, the Jewish law said that if the man would have actually been dead, that a priest could not touch him without going through this cleansing process. And so as he's walking by and he looks, there's no way that he can tell if the guy's alive or dead from the distance. He's got to walk up and actually see what is going on with this guy and check to see what's going on. But if he walks over there and checks and the guy is actually dead, then there's this long cleansing process for about a week. And so I see him looking at it, it's just really not worth my time. There's just a little bit too much. I'm not sure that I want to do this. And he just kept on walking. And he says, this could just be too messy. And then it says in verse 32, a temple assistant. This is like the right-hand guy to the priest. This is like the people who just make church happen. This is the person that people could count on again. And again, the same thing happens. It says, and he walked over, and he looked at him lying there, but he passed on the other side. And so this guy, he actually walks over, and he looks a little bit closer. He kind of examines him. He gets a good look. He decides still things are a little too messy. I'm not really sure that I have time for this. I got another appointment to be at. I've got to do this. And he turns around, and he leaves. And then in verse 33, it says, then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. So we ask this question, who is my neighbor? I think maybe a better way for us to understand that today is, who needs around me needs to be cared for? Who around me needs to be cared for? Because we see these, he goes through this trail of life. There are people around us that need to be cared for. But Jesus really, I think, answered a question with a question when he tells the story. He says, do you have the heart that really cares for people? Because it's easy a lot of times for us to look around and see people that maybe need to be cared for. We know that they are there, and we can look at them, and we can walk right by them, and we can talk about the needs that they have. But Jesus is saying this, do you actually have the heart to care for other people? Jesus is saying, it's not a rules question, it is a relationship question. He's asking, do you have the people that are on your road of life? Do you have the people that you walk by? Do you have those people in your life? Are you so worried about who your neighbor is that you're forgetting that you need to be a neighbor? Are you forgetting that there are people laying there on the ground every single day? And Jesus just simply asking the question, do you have a heart to care for people? It's because I think when we look at the scripture, it really emphasizes something about the church. Because I think as you look at the story, it's easy for us to say, you know what, when's the last time you ever saw someone laying on the side of the road robbed by bandits? I have to admit, I don't think it's ever happened for me, and I hope that it never happens for me. So we can read this and realize it just doesn't happen that often, but we do run into people that feel like life is against them. And people in our city, they feel like life is against them. And honestly, probably more now than I've ever seen in my lifetime. People have seen, never in my lifetime have I seen families that seem to be just struggling so much. Never in my lifetime have I seen parents that are just struggling. Never in my lifetime have I seen so many marriages that are just struggling. And people in our city feel so connected, possibly digitally, but we've never felt so alone in our lives. I looked at the population, and there's around 200,000 people that live in Ellis County. And so many of them feel like life is against them. I can't tell you how many different times and different places and just a little simple conversation that pretty much those words are come out. This week, we were getting the air conditioners and just here at the church just checked on and different things. And the guy that comes in, he's the air conditioner guy. At least I'm glad he was the air conditioner guy since he was fixing the air conditioners. And he comes in, and as he just walks around and he begins to talk, he begins to tell me some things about his life. And he said pretty much the same thing. I just feel like life is against me. And many times when we feel like life is against us, then we feel like God is against us. And so we stop, and I want you to realize that so many people in our cities feel like God is against them. And people in our cities feel like God is against them, and they don't know that Jesus is for them. We know the hope of Jesus. We know the joy of Jesus. We know what it means to have this life-changing relationship with Jesus. We know that Jesus changes lives. And we know that there's a God that tells the stories of the Good Samaritan and of the prodigal son and the woman of the well and all these different people that came and healed him. We know that there's a God that is for people. And we need to let people know that God is actually for them. Because there are so many people that we walk down the road of life with that are saying, life is against me, and God is against me. And we know the difference. They need to know that God is for them. And how do we let the cities know that Jesus is for them? People won't know that Jesus is for them until they know that we are for them. There's just something about when you know that you have someone in your corner. When you're in the boxing match of life, and you turn around and you look and there's just someone in your corner, there's just something about that. When you turn around and look and you just seem like life, that you're just all by yourself, then there's just something about that as well. You see, when you look back and there's someone in your corner, you know that there's someone always there praying for you. When you look back and you know that there's someone there, you know that someone there that will text you and check on you. When you look back, you know when you need someone that will help you, that there's someone that says, I will. And when we see people that are in our corner, it really changes things. And when you see that God is in your corner, it changes everything. And people are not going to know that God is for them until they know that we are for them. They can't know that God's in their corner until they know that we are in their corner. That's what the church is all about. It says in the scripture that the church is called the body of Christ. In other words, we are Jesus here on earth. We are the people that let people know that Jesus is for them. That's what the purpose of the church is. So we as the Bridge know more than ever that we need to be for our cities, because more than ever, people feel like no one is actually for them. And I've loved the way that God has used the Bridge in just the few short existence that we have. Excuse me. In our city. And people in our cities need to know that we are for them. And I look here and I already know that, like, they're just sitting in this room here. There are people that are different cities right here in Ellis County. We all have these different cities that we need to make sure that God and that people know that God is for them. So the question is, what does it actually mean to be for our city? Being for our city is about being who we are when we gather and when we go. You know, when I think about the bridge, the name, it's just this connect. To me, it's this connecting point. That's what a bridge is. When you cross a bridge, it's connecting one place to another place. And it's a place where we can find caring people. It's a place where we can find love. It's a place where we can belong. It's a place where we can worship. There's a place where we can have our needs met. And there's an urgency about gathering. But there also needs to be an urgency around going and inviting and meeting people who need Jesus. Needing people who have questions, that need to know what the next series is about, that need to have help with their faith questions. So there needs to be this urgency around going just as much as there is this urgency around gathering. Because when you talk about lead people from where they are to where God wants them to be, people are at all different places this morning, all different stations of life and places of life and location, and we have to physically go to them. So when I think about this idea of going, we have to go to our workplace, and we have to go to our neighbors, and we have to go to the person across the street so that they will actually know that God is for them. And what God wants us to gather with this full passion of gathering and worshiping Him, but He also wants us to go out to all the other people and see, just like the priests and just like the temple assistants, as we go down this road of life, we're walking by people that are laying on the side of the road. We're walking by people that say, you know what, life is just not for me. Life just seems to be hard. Why is God allowing this to happen? And they have so many different questions. And what happens is, when we kind of look at them, and we kind of walk by, and we never meet any needs, and we never have a conversation with them, we're just giving confirmation to what so many people already say. Those hypocrites. Those people don't care like they actually say that they care. So I want to share just four things I want us to do to be for our city over the next 16 months. And the first thing is simply this. Be for families in your city. Before four families in your city. Pick four families in your life that you're going to be in their corner. Pick four families that you know that don't know Jesus that need to have a that life-changing relationship with Him. Pick four people that you can actually cheer on, that you're actually going to pray for. And some of us, we can think about those four families, and honestly, they come to our mind pretty fast. Some of us, maybe we need to be on the road of life and we just need to have our eyes open just a little bit more, that we're actually looking for four families that were for. I can think of several different people that started their relationships. And one of the ways I've seen it happen the most often is becomes friends with the person. It seems like this. They end up at your kitchen table. Because at your kitchen table, that's like where conversations happen. That's where people that you actually open the door and actually let them in. People that you actually know. They're people that you actually built relationships with. And I can't tell you how many times at a kitchen table I've seen people weep. I've seen people open up about their marriages. I've seen relationships built. I've seen people that begin to know that God is for them. That ultimately leads to this life change that they so desperately needed. So, the four people that you can actually make a difference in their life, choosing intentionality and availability can change someone's life for eternity. So who are your four families going to be? As you came in, you were handed a sheet. On the back are some lines. Maybe you just need to take that sheet and you just need to write down four names. Or maybe you need to write down a few more. Maybe you need to take home a blank sheet and you just need to say, you know what? What four families can I be for? And I guarantee you, if each one of us do this, you're going to see a change just begin in our city. You're going to begin to see a change in their life because they know that someone is for them. The second thing that I want you to know that we're for in the next 16 months is this: make a better space for people in our cities. See, just a few short months ago, we didn't even have a building to even meet at, a space to even have. And we began just praying and asking God to give us a building, and we had no clue it would be this particular building. It was amazing as we prayed and we talked about just these breakthroughs, how God has done just some amazing breakthroughs. And I have no doubt as 16 months continues on that God's going to continue some different breakthroughs, and there's going to continue just to be more space that people that need to know that God is for them. You see, as we signed the lease on this building, we were excited and gave us this home to meet in. But over the last couple months, we've had this opportunity that the person who actually owns the building has come back and said, you know what, like in the future, sometime maybe in the next year, we would just really like to sell the building and sell it to you. It's your space. And so I just wanted to ask you just to begin praying about that. It's not something that's happening now. It's not something that's happening like in a few weeks from now. But he's like, you know what? I like what I'm seeing about your church and what I'm hearing about your church, and I just believe this should be your home. And so just begin praying about that because it opens this opportunity for us to have more space for people in our cities. And the third thing is this: we don't be for our city partners. There are a lot of different people in our city. And there's a lot of people that we can partner with and a lot of things that God just continues to open the door about. And one of the particular ones I think about is Long Branch Elementary School. It's one of our biggest partners to date. And what I love about this particular school is this: we started investing in the Long Branch Elementary before we even had our first Sunday service. And we began just serving them and loving on them. And I've loved to see how God has used our city partners as we partner with them just to see different things happen. I'll never forget the day that they called and the principal said, you know what, we have someone in our school that husband has been diagnosed for cancer. Is there any way that you could just bring a basket of like goodies? They're going to be traveling back and forth. Could you bless them this way? And we said, sure. And I'll never forget the different conversations as I go up to school there often that I'm able to have with different people and different teachers and see those things happen. I'll never forget that one day as Amy was looking for a job after we'd been serving at this school for a year, that the phone rings and it's Long Branch Elementary, and ultimately now she works there after we'd already been serving them, and now she reaps the benefits of many of the relationships that we built and has so many more conversations with people there. And they open the door for us to pray through their schools, and what a big deal that is. And that's just one of our city partners. And I think about over the next 16 months, what other city partner can we have that we're going to do so that we can show more people that we're for them? I've been in restaurants where parents of people, the students that go to the school, they go, oh, you're the Bridge Church. The students' parents begin to know that we're serving that school because they know that we're for that school. So what can we do as a church to be for city partners? Who will be our next city partner? And the next thing is simply this: to be for messy lives. I think back to this story that Jesus shared, and there's two people who walk by and they keep on going. And I look at this, I think they were great people. I think they loved God. I think that they worshiped. I think they did a lot of good things. But for some reason, this day, they decided this situation was just too messy for them. I just don't have the time. We're going to be a church for messy people. Because the truth is, at some point in time, there's a lot of times that we're the ones laying beside the road. Our friends are laying beside the road. Because life is just not as easy and as simple and as clean as we really would like for it to be. And a lot of times, as soon as we get it cleaned up, it just seems like things are a mess again. I mean, Think about your house. You walk in your house, you've spent all day cleaning it, and you leave your kids at home, and you walk back in, it's like, did I do anything? And I think a lot of times our lives can be just like that. We work so hard, and we try to think that I've gotten it so cleaned up. And I just, all of a sudden, a day, a week, or a month goes by, and it's just a mess again. And if it's not us, there are so many other people out there. And what they are, they're like this. They're laying there. And we don't want to be a church that just walks by them. We want to get our hands messy. We want to get down and be like the Good Samaritan. He says he got down and he soothed their wounds. He picked them up. He took them with him. And he took care of them. And I think about these 200,000 people that live in the Ellis County. How many of them really feel like their life is a mess? How many of them actually feel like life is against them? And ultimately, if they begin to continue to feel like life is against them, they begin to think that God is against them. And they need to know that there's a church that is actually for them. So just imagine if the Bridge became known as a church that is for the cities of Waxahachie, Midlothian, Red Oak, Ennis, whatever city that you actually live in. That when people thought of something, they would say, you know what, I know a church that's for people. And they began pointing them to the Bridge because we had the reputation that we are actually for people. What would it mean for you to be for this city? And I think about this idea of what it takes for us to be for someone else. Because they're not going to know that God is for them, that Jesus is for them, until they know that we are for them. If we want to see more life change happen and more relationships and more people come to know Christ, then they've got to know that we're for them. They got to know that we're for that four families, and that's just kind of where it starts. Just four individuals, four families. You know what? That for the next 6 million months, I want them to know that I'm for them, that I'm in their corner. For the next 16 months, what city partner can we partner with? How can we invest more into Long Branch Elementary? Over the next 16 months, what can we do to continue to pray that God just continues to do these amazing things in the facilities that people can come and gather to worship so that we can then go out with more people to reach more people for Him? And what can we do as a church and individually? Say, you know what? Life doesn't have to be perfect. You can feel like your life is a mess, but you still belong here. And that we're going to hook our arms around you, and we're going to walk with you through this mess called life. Because the Bridge is not a church that's going to just walk by when things seem just a little bit more difficult, or I don't have enough time. But we're going to be known as for people. And over the next few weeks, I just challenge you to take that card and just think of four families. Four families that you pray for each day. Four families that you begin to invite into your home. Four families that you build a relationship for that they have no doubt that you're for them. And over the next 10 days, we're just going to release these devotionals online, just talking about how you can be for them and help. So just be looking for those on social media. Or maybe you're not on social media and you just want them to go directly to you. You can pull out your phone. You can text the word FOR to 469-712-2131. And we'll just send those to you for the next 10 days. As that stayed on the screen, just encouraging you and talking about some different ways that we can be for. But today, I want you to know this. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter the craziness, I want you to know that we're for you and that we love you and we want to be for our city. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,